Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisory firm. Johnson Wealth and Income Management and Sound Income Strategies, LLC are not associated entities. Johnson Wealth and Income Management is a franchisee of Retirement Income Source, LLC. Retirement Income Source, LLC and Sound Income Strategies, LLC are associated entities.
What kind of a retirement plan allows millions of people to lose 30 to 50% of their life savings just as they near retirement?
It's a society based on freedom and choice and personal responsibility. There are no guarantees.
It's important that people deal with someone to make sure to provide lifetime income.
Lifetime income.
And now to our story.
Welcome to the Capitalized Life and Retirement Program with Matthew Johnson, powered by Johnson Wealth and Income Management. Are you living the life you want? Are you prepared for retirement as you believe you should be? What are your goals for retirement, and how are you going to reach them? In the next 30 minutes of today's program, let's explore the principles necessary to live the capitalized life and the retirement of your dreams. Now, here's this week's Capitalized Life and Retirement Program with your host, Matthew Johnson.
And welcome to this episode of the Capitalized Life and Retirement Show. I'm your host, Matthew Johnson, president and owner of Johnson Wealth and Income Management, a retirement income source located in Clear Lake and Humboldt, Iowa, serving clients in northern Iowa and southern Minnesota. Well, how are you today? I hope you're doing well. Hope you're taking a little bit of time for yourself this weekend. And I just want to say welcome to today's program. If you're brand new to the Capitalized Life and Retirement Show, I want to welcome you. If you've been looking for someplace that is down to earth, something that's practical, something that's going to help educate you on what it takes to successfully retire in today's society, in today's world, in today's economy, you've definitely come to the right place. Today, we're going to be discussing whether or not you are stealing from yourself. And if you are, well, shame on you. Stop stealing from yourself. Now, as you know, as a fiduciary, this is something that from time to time, there's just certain appointments that I have that really go back to teaching a primary lesson. And if I have one of these appointments, it's something that always stimulates me wanting to share it with you. Because here's the thing. Most individuals today that are gearing up for retirement, or maybe they've just made it to retirement, they work with an advisor because they want to be able to avoid making the mistakes that are down the road. And not to sound condescending, but you know, from the standpoint of the advisor, we're looking a much further distance because this is something that we help people do every single day. Now, I want to just share this with you that this is probably going to be an episode that creates a great deal of response. And if you want to sound off, if this is something that you agree with, something that you disagree with, if you have very strong opinions about the subject today that we're going to be discussing, which is really withdrawing from your own retirement for lump sum purchases, I encourage you, go to my website, Johnson, W-I-M, as in Wealth Income Management, and tell me what you think. Lay it on the line. Tell me, what are the experiences that you've seen? What are the experiences that potentially you have had with regards to withdrawing from your own personal retirement? So let's get started. Now, this is something that I touch on occasionally within my book, The Capitalized Retirement. If you haven't gotten a copy of that, I encourage you to get it for yourself. But I want to share a story. This was a couple that had come in just the other day, and we're talking normal retirement age, 67 and 65. And the spouse had just retired from a couple of decades working for an employer that actually offered to her a pension. Now, if you're lucky enough to have a pension, man, I want you to really understand just how special you really are, because less than 2% of people in society today are still eligible to draw a pension when they retire. And so a pension is something not to be fooled with. It's something that's very special. However, making the wrong kind of a decision about your pension, about the retirement money that you've saved, that can have long-term negative side effects. And so getting into this couple had never really saved anything for retirement. They put a lot of emphasis on owning rental properties. And no doubt he was still working. He loved what he did. He wanted to continue to work for a while longer. He didn't know what else he would do if he did retire. So that was part of the reason why he continued to want to stay working. But they had these rental properties. They were producing plenty of income. And the general idea in their mind was that we were going to take her 401k. They were going to take her pension. They were going to cash everything out. And then they were going to use it to buy more income producing rental properties. Now, just on the kind of peripheral outside view looking in, that's not a terrible idea, right? They would be able to take this money. They'd be able to buy these properties with taxes already been out of the way. And now they were going to just be receiving just pure profit, right? They were going to buy this property and it was going to produce income for the rest of their life. Shouldn't be too many things wrong with that. Well, we're going to dissect this appointment and we're going to kind of dissect their mindset and we're going to help kind of look at what they were trying to accomplish, but maybe do it in a much more strategic way that's going to save them in all sorts of ways. Now, before we get into this, I want you to ask yourself a question. No doubt, if you haven't yet made it to retirement, but you're getting close, chances are you might have one or maybe multiple different retirement programs that you've been involved in. Maybe you've been in a 401k, maybe you got 403b going. Maybe you've got some of those accounts and they've been kind of sitting on the outside. They've been maybe a little bit in a position where they've been just kind of dormant. You haven't been adding to them. But nevertheless, I want you to ask yourself this question. Why did you bother even saving the money to begin with? Now, that answer that you give could be very different than your next door neighbor, your best friend. What I've discovered over the years is that there's really only three reasons why we save retirement money. The first reason is that we save it because, you know, when we get to retirement, we will have built up our pot. It's going to be a big chunk of money and we're going to take all that out and we're going to use it to build that new home in Phoenix, or we're going to use it to build a cabin in the woods, or whatever the case may be. The second reason is, well, Matthew, I've saved all this money so that I can supplement my retirement once I no longer have a paycheck. What's number three? Number three could be you're saving this money because you want this money to be a legacy to your kids. Your plan is never to touch the money. It's just to let it sit there and accumulate and grow and compound. So when you die, you're going to be able to have a cash legacy to your children and to your grandchildren. Now, what is your primary reason for saving this money? For most individuals watching this program, listening to this radio show, it's going to be number two. You save the money in the 401k, you save the money in the Roth, you save the money in the 403b, or whatever financial retirement savings account you had, primarily because you wanted to be able to replace that paycheck. You wanted to be able to supplement your Social Security. You wanted to be able to have more income in retirement to do the things that you want to do. That's the primary reason that people save money in those vehicles, okay? So let's say that that's your answer. Number two, you want to supplement your retirement income. That's the reason you save the money. Can I encourage you, if you've got a question, if you've got a comment, things that you want to hear discussed on our radio show, I encourage you go to our website, johnsonwim.com, as in wealthincomemanagement.com. And there you can go ahead and you can leave a comment. You can give a question to me if you'd like and say that this is something that's really been on your mind. You'd like to be able to hear it discussed. Well, now I want to kind of change gears here and I want to talk about debt versus credit. And I think that this is something that's so underrated. It's so under discussed within the financial services world with clients. And that is this: we have to go back to the basics of defining the difference between credit versus debt. Now, if you've been a listener of this radio show for any length of time, you understand that to me, debt is when you don't have the means to be able to buy something. And so you're borrowing the money to buy that new car. You're borrowing the money to buy that brand new furniture. You're borrowing the money to do something or another with that money because you just simply don't have the means. Now, credit, on the other hand, is when you do have the means to be able to buy it, but yet you choose to use someone else's money in order to purchase that item. Now, what do you think is smarter, going into debt or using credit? Now, I would argue that many of us, especially when we were younger, or in our 20s or 30s, even our 40s, having debt is kind of a way of life. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's the right thing, but you know what? When you're raising a family, when you're just trying to keep food on the table, you're trying to keep the lights on, it's necessary oftentimes to be able to have a mortgage in order to be able to have that home. And you're in a position where you simply can't afford to save up money in order to purchase a decent home. And today we know it's getting more and more difficult for the young people that are out there. When you look at the amount of expense it costs just to rent a decent place in America today, it's astounding. It blows a person's mind, but I digress. When we think about purchasing big ticket items, especially when we're close to retirement, or maybe we've actually retired and now we're already in the distribution stage of our life, when it comes to purchasing big ticket items, maybe that's a really expensive car or an automobile. Maybe that's like this couple wanting to go out and purchase, say, storage units as a rental property. We have to ask ourselves, do we really want to use our money? Now, there's another thing here. We want to go back to the fact that this woman had a pension. And again, pensions are something that we don't want to necessarily disregard, because if we have a pension, we have access to something that's going to pay us a check for the rest of our life. Now, does it necessarily mean that this woman needed to keep the pension a pension versus rolling the pension? Well, not necessarily, and your mileage may vary. You may find that keeping your pension a pension is the very best option for you. For many other people, rolling the pension into an IRA is the best option because, as we've discussed before here on this program with regards to pensions, by doing so, you know that 100% of that money is now yours day one. You know 100% that you can have access to all of that money if you need it. You know, if you die, it's going to go to your spouse if you have the right beneficiaries. And more importantly, you know that if both of you have passed, now it's going to be able to be passed on to your kids. But remember what this couple's plan was. This couple's plan was just to cash in the pension, take all the money, and use it to go buy the storage facility along with the 401k money. But then we have to think about something else. We have to think about, when you're in the distribution stage of your life, what is a safe withdrawal rate? Now, I know I'm throwing a lot of things at you right now, but I want you to consider this. Most all of our lives, we've been taught that a safe withdrawal rate is about 4%. Now, what does that mean? What that means is that theoretically, based upon all the Monte Carlo analyses that have been done by the various different financial institutions that exist in the world today, they're telling us that if we've saved up, say, $1 million in retirement savings, and we take $40,000 every single year, there's going to be about a 90% probability that we're never going to run out of money. Now, I want to change that into an analogy for just a minute. If you got onto a plane and the captain said, hey, congratulations, we're pulling away a little bit early, we're going to get to the destination a little early, and even better news, there's a 90% chance that we're going to actually make it to our destination today. Let me ask you, would you get on that plane? Well, the answer is probably not. And so we have to understand how all of these things work together. We know that if we worked hard to save money in the 401k, specifically for the purpose of being able to supplement our retirement income down the road once we get to retirement, well, pulling money out lump sum is going to be a taxable event. We also know that it's going to be probably more than 4% that we're withdrawing in order to be able to do this financial project over here. And that means that we're going to be tapping into our principal. Now, I don't want you to go anywhere, because we've got to make sense of all of this information that I'm sharing with you about this couple, as well as some of these ideas of debt versus credit and safe withdrawal rates. Stick with us. We're going to be right back. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Capitalized Life and Retirement Program with Matthew Johnson. So, how's this latest stock market roller coaster ride treating you? You've worked too long and too hard scrimping and saving for retirement to have it exposed to this volatility or gobbled up by some retirement spend-down scheme. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, hoping for different results. It's time to get off the roller coaster and get serious about how you're planning for retirement, so you may have the retirement you've worked so long and so hard for. Call Johnson Wealth and Income Management at 866-290-3837. That's 866-290-3837. And for more information, visit us online at johnsonwim.com. That's johnsonwim.com. Time now for more of the Capitalized Life and Retirement Program with Matthew Johnson.
And welcome back to the Capitalized Life and Retirement Show. I'm your host, Matthew Johnson, president and owner of Johnson Wealth and Income Management, a retirement income source located in Clear Lake and Humboldt, Iowa, serving clients in northern Iowa and southern Minnesota. Now, if you're just joining us today, we're kind of going through a case that recently came to me, where there's this couple, 65 and 67. The husband wants to continue to work. The wife is just retired. She's lucky enough to have a 401k. She's lucky enough to have a pension. And this couple really don't have a lot of experience in saving for retirement. They don't have any experience whatsoever in investing in conventional methodology of investing like Roth IRAs and brokerage accounts and that sort of thing. And they have really created their bucket of wealth through that of owning rentals. And so with the impending retirement that this woman is actually coming into, their idea was simple. They know that rentals have made them money in the past. They know that rentals have created monthly income for them in the past. So why not take this pension? Why not take this 401k? And why not go ahead and just cash them in? Use that to buy another, say, storage unit and be able to make profit off from that. Isn't that the best of both worlds? Well, the reality is that as much as it sounded like the right thing to do, it was actually one of the most dangerous decisions that they could have ever made. And if you've ever had the experience where you have taken withdrawals from your retirement simply to buy a big ticket item, I want you to be careful to listen now. So let's discuss what this couple was about to embark upon. Number one, by cashing in the pension, they were never going to ever receive 100% of what was in that pension lump sum. You want to remember that when you take a pension lump sum, you're going to be mandatorily paying a 20% federal withholding. Now, we're lucky here in the state of Iowa that when we take a pension lump sum, we don't have to pay state tax. But let's say you live in the state of Nebraska or the state of Minnesota or the state of Missouri or Illinois. Whatever you pay to the feds, you're going to typically have to pay close to about 50% of what you paid to the feds to the state that you live in. So this could be anywhere from 20% to as much as 30% is going to immediately be given to governments for taxation. So if this couple would have moved forward with the lump sum idea, not only would they have received 70 cents on every dollar from the pension, but they would have received 70 cents on the dollar from the 401k. Now, granted, they could have just ripped the Band-Aid off, paid the tax, and then went out and bought these storage units that they were anticipating buying. But then they asked me a very crucial question. What do you think about our idea? Well, number one, we know that the withdrawal rate that we've all been taught that is safe is 4%. Now, I hate to even say this, but today we know that that's kind of a little bit questionable because of the way that the market has behaved. We know that if we're investing in mutual funds, we're investing in growth stocks, in order to be able to accomplish a 4% withdrawal rate, there is a likelihood that at least at some point and maybe multiple points throughout the remainder of our retirement, we're going to be stealing from the principal. Because you see, when you're investing for growth, when you're investing for the G, it's not very likely that you're going to be getting much in the way of dividends. And even financial advisors and brokers know this. They're hoping that there's going to be enough capital appreciation within the portfolio for you to be able to take what little dividend you're producing and then have you take the rest out of growth. But let me ask you, are you expecting growth every single year? For most up-and-coming retirees and most retirees, we already know that there's not a promise of growth every single year. And so what essentially happens is when we're taking 4% or 5% and we don't have the dividends to be able to sustain that kind of a withdrawal rate every single year, we're tapping into principal. Now, is it okay to tap into your principal? Well, I believe that it is, but not at the age of 60, not at the age of 65 or even 70. Maybe once you get closer to your mid 70s, now you can feel a little bit more comfortable about spending your principal because you know you may not likely live and run out of money before you pass away. You're in a position where your money will outlive you instead of the other way around. Let's go back to the implication that this couple was really facing. This couple's plan was to cannibalize 100% of the principal to go buy another income-producing asset class. This was going to lead to higher taxes. This was also going to put them into a position where they would have no tax deductibility. It was also going to put them into a position where they were going to have to wait several years in receiving a rental income to be able to pay off the taxes that they have already paid right out of the gate, cashing in the 401k and the pension. And not only that, but were they going to be absolutely guaranteed to get rental income? And that's the thing. When you are a landlord, when you have things like condos and apartment complexes and rental homes and storage units, you know that there is probably some degree of a consistency of having occupancy within those various different business models. And the reality is that although we might be able to say that, well, we're going to have a pretty consistent income, well, we also have the facts to indicate that that's not always the case. When we watched it, what happened with COVID-19 and the shutdown, and we watched how it changed the demographics and how it changed the business models of those that were renting, where individual landlords were losing tenants because people had to move. People couldn't afford it without the job. We know that in the same way that the market moves up and down, we know that rental property moves up and down as well. I just want to say there is an unlimited, almost unlimited amount of resources that are available for you. If you go to our website, Johnson WIM is in Wealth Income Management. There is white papers. There are backlogs of videos and YouTube videos and podcasts and radio shows, things that are here to help you better understand how to be optimally prepared for retirement. So we go back to this idea of credit versus debt. So I asked this couple, how much are the facility, the storage units that you want to buy? Well, about $500,000. Okay. And how much do you have between the pension and the 401k? Well, about the same. And so what we identified is that number one, right out of the gate, they were going to end up only having 70% of the purchase price covered because they were going to have the mandatory withholding that they were going to have to pay that we spoke of earlier. Not only that, will they have access to that 401k money down the road if they need it? And the answer would be no. Are they going to have any income which is guaranteed to them that the pension could provide down the road? And the answer is no. So going back to credit versus debt, do they have the money today to be able to buy it? And the answer is, of course they do. So this idea was, what if instead of taking and cannibalizing all of the principal, having a very, very painful tax experience as a result of cashing in the 401k and the pension, what if instead you decided to invest that money that you've saved in order to supplement your retirement income for the purpose of creating income? In other words, instead of keeping the 401k focused on growth and the pension focused on the pension, what if you rolled that tax-free into an IRA? Now, 100% of that $500,000 is yours. Your name is on it. You paid zero tax to consolidate that money into the IRA. Then what if you took that money, that $500,000, and you invested it in such a way that it created, we'll just say, to be conservative, 6%. Now, if you went to the bank, do you think that the bank would borrow you a $500,000 to buy the storage units, knowing that you had a $500,000 in retirement savings? What do you think that their answer was? And you said, yes, you'd be right. Now, we all know that we live in a heightened income tax bracket world. We also know that we live in a heightened interest rate world right now. And so interest rates being what they are, if they borrowed the money, how much would they be able to get that commercial loan for? Well, my hunch was probably in the 7.5% to 8% range. We'll just say 8 for simple math. Now, according to this fella, he was going to be able to get profits of around 17% as a return on his investment every year from the rent that he would be able to make from the storage facility. Okay? And you just keep that in mind. Now, let's say that he moves this money from the pension, the 401k, into a portfolio. He's producing 6% and he's paying 8% to the bank. What that means is he's going to have to come up with 2% of the money in order to be able to cover that mortgage. But let me ask you, don't you think that the 6% on his $500,000, on that $500,000, being 30 grand a year in interest and dividends, don't you think that the 30 grand a year would be sufficient to be able to cover the bank note every single month? And the answer was yes. Now, how much tax implication did that couple sustain if they did things that way? They rolled the money, the pension, the 401k, into the IRA tax-free. How much tax did they have to pay? Well, the answer was zero, nothing, nada. And you see, the point here is this. You've worked hard to save all of this money so that you could supplement your retirement. And you see, if you end up spending your principal too soon, the principal is now gone. You have no leverage. But if you can save the principal, you can get the principal to be able to produce for you a proper amount of interest and dividends, 5%, 6%, or maybe even more. And do it safely. Do it with consistency. Do it so that it's a steady production of income. And you're not having to rely upon growth of the stock market. You're just investing very purposefully in interest and dividends. And you go back to this principle of debt versus credit. Now you understand how you can leverage your money. And not only that, but remember that this couple, if they borrowed the money to buy the storage unit, they would then be able to deduct the interest off from their income tax for the amount of interest that they're paying the bank. So my request to you, my edification, is that you would stop stealing from yourself to buy big ticket purchases. Invest your money properly so it can create income for you, so that if you want to buy more things like rental homes and apartment complexes, you get the money that you've worked so hard to save, that working capital, actually working for you as a silent partner to be able to make purchasing income producing things like that more easy, more sustainable. I'm Matthew Johnson. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, it's up to you to make today a great day.
That's all the time we have for today. To schedule 15 minutes with Matthew off the air, call 866-290-3837. That's 866-290-3837. And for more information, visit us online at johnsonwim.com. That's johnsonwim.com. We will be back again next week at this same time for another Capitalized Life and Retirement Program with Matthew Johnson.